Meg will come now and read our scripture. A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire."
John the Baptist is the character of Advent, the voice of Advent, crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way, make straight the path, repent, the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God is at hand." On this second Sunday of Advent, as we pray for peace, I think sometimes John's fiery, even violent-sounding words can be a little hard to know what to do with. He was a wild man, in the tradition of the wildest of the Old Testament prophets, dressed in camel skins, eating locust and wild honey. I've read a couple of jokes. Eating locust and wild honey might put anybody into a bit of a temper. He certainly lived outside the bounds of society. He defied the rules. He was a priest's son. He should have grown up and been a priest in the temple, but that was not at all who John was. He called people out to the Jordan River, that boundary between their settled lives and the wilderness, the desert, the place where in generations before God had been revealed to them. John called out, shouting for repentance, and the people came to the River Jordan for a baptism of repentance. This was no careful, clean, ritual bathing the people did as they prepared to go into the temple. This was getting dunked in the swirling, muddy waters of the Jordan River. John challenged the religious and political leaders when they showed up. These were the maintainers of the institutions, the protectors of the status quo. John's word to them was, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to come out here like you're going to get cleaned up and get saved yourselves? Bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. For even now, the axe is at the root of the trees. And any tree that's not bearing good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." So what do we make of John the Baptist? What does he have to say to us? "Clear a path," he cried, "bear fruit or get chopped down." He uses more than one metaphor, but the bottom line is get out and do some bushwhacking, some brush clearing, some pruning and some chopping to make way for God to come into your lives. Now, probably a lot of us here know a little bit about pruning and clearing out. Sometimes you have to really do some cutting to make space, don't you? To clear a path, to open up a view so you can get some perspective, to allow the productive plants to bloom and bear fruit. My mother always got nervous when my dad had something on his mind and decided he was going to go work in the yard. He would take the loppers and the tree saw and head out to do some pruning on a hedge. And next thing you knew, a couple hours later, they would be down to, like, you know, the bare basic branches, about 2 feet tall at best. He was a John the Baptist kind of pruner. If something wasn't yielding flowers or fruit, cut it back to the base. Get rid of all the overgrowth. Get down to what really matters. Or maybe just chop it down completely and dig it up and get rid of it. That seems to be John the Baptist's word to us. Clear it out. Make some space. Figure out what's not producing, what's not bringing fruit into your life, and get rid of it. Steve Garnas Holmes, whom many of us have started reading with his blog, Unfolding Light, meditates on these words this way. Some folks imagine that the people are good trees or bad ones, and the bad ones, well. But this is not about others. There are in me fruitful trees and dead ones, and now is the season of pruning, so that when the Beloved comes, I will be ready with abundant fruit. What are the fruitful trees in me? Where in my living does love flourish? What moments leave others blessed? And what trees are unfruitful? What of my habits or attitudes do not bear blessing? What weeds crowd out my love? God, give me grace to feed the fruitful trees and to cut out the dead ones. You have given me the courage and wisdom. I have only to let them go. The axe is lying at the root of the trees. On this Advent Sunday, we pray for peace in our world, for peace in all the places where violence and war are bringing so much destruction and loss and death. And we are called as Christians to be peacemakers, to find the ways that God is leading us to work for healing and reconciliation, to be about the building of God's shalom, peace, wholeness for all living beings. Whenever I think of the work of peacemaking, I'm reminded of a man Bill and I knew in Locust Baptist Church named Walker Knight. Walker was a Baptist peacemaker for many, many years, one of the founding members of the Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America and of the Alliance of Baptists. He was a pivotal member of Oakhurst Baptist Church, a mentor to me and Bill in different ways. Walker wrote about the need for peacemakers to organize, to work together, to have plans, to be as smart as the people of this world are in their plans for war. He envisioned God's peace at work in our world, doing the work that bring peace. Peace, he says, plans its strategies and encircles the enemy. Peace marshals its forces and storms the gates. Peace gathers its weapons and pierces the defense. Peace, like war, is waged. But Christ has turned it all around. The weapons of peace are love, joy, goodness, long-suffering. The arms of peace are justice, truth, patience, and prayer. The strategies of peace bring safety, welfare, happiness, and the forces of peace are the sons and daughters of God. We are the forces of peace. The work of peace always begins within us, letting go, pruning out whatever it is that keeps us from love. Divine love wants to come to us, to work in us, to bring forth abundant fruit. God wants to show us the ways forward into peace. But the voice of John cries out, "You got to get ready. Prepare the way. Clear the path for the Prince of Peace to come with the Spirit and with fire."